Welcome to this sermon entitled Christmas Memories. Open your Bible to Luke 2, verses 16 through 20, and let's begin.
Our dear Heavenly Father, you are the one who promised that the Holy Spirit would bring to our memory the important things that Jesus said and taught. And I pray that you would fulfill that promise as we think about Christmas memories. I pray that all of it would result in us loving Christ more and living lives that are pleasing to Him. In Christ's name, amen. I recently read a long article about memory. And we remember different things in different ways. Ironically, as much as they understand the brain, memory is an odd thing because not all memories are stored in the same places and in the same ways. So, for example, there are emotional memories, and they're probably our strongest memories. They are memories that are implanted with the emotion. So when you remember them, it pulls up the emotion with it. For example, you probably don't remember the 25th time you kissed your wife or husband. But it's a pretty good chance you remember the first time, if it wasn't 47 years ago. You probably don't remember the 50th time you drove the car by yourself. But I guarantee you, if the first time you drove the car by yourself, you got in an accident, you remember it. See, there are certain memories that are emotionally loaded. And these memories, when we remember them, they bring the emotion with it. There are other memories that are called functional memories. Here's an example of a functional memory. I can drive home from work and not remember how I got there. I have a functional memory for driving a car. And I drive back and forth every day, and only some days out of sheer boredom I take a different route. So my functional memory, it's not that I'm not conscious, it's just my functional memory is so strong for the route home, I'm not concentrating on it, and I get there safely. Anyway, no police have ever shown up at my house. So we have emotional memories, and we have functional memories. There's all kinds of other memories, but to make it easy, we're just going to focus on these two. We all have emotional memories about Christmas. Christmas 2019 is a memory now. You'll remember it fondly, you'll remember it sadly, or you'll forget it and remember another Christmas instead. I have a memory of being a boy. My mom was in a family of 11. And so a family of 11 kids, and they were all married. That made 22. My grandpa and grandma made 24. And my grandpa's brother lived with them. That made 25 adults. And then there were dump truck loads of grandkids. My grandma's house would be packed. And it usually broke out like this. My mom and her sisters sat upstairs, and they were all very opinionated women. And usually it got It got chippy up there. My uncles sat in the basement and played cards, and usually it was much less chippy down there. A lot more smoky, but a lot less chippy. I remember that. And now I remember that three of the nine sisters are still alive, and only one of the brother-in-laws are still alive. That whole family is almost gone. They live in Christmas memories, but they've given the world to someone else. I have functional Christmas memories. Let me tell you one more Christmas memory. I believe it was the first Christmas when my oldest daughter was born. I was just anxious to buy Christmas toys for her. Dads, can you relate to this? You just wanted to get some toys. I saw this ridiculous green worm with yellow wheels. And somehow or another, I thought that would be an awesome Christmas present. And now it's the green worm. It speaks for itself. She was too little for it, but it didn't keep me from plopping her on there and pushing her around the house. That is an emotional Christmas memory for me. I have functional Christmas memories. And I hate to admit this. I've heard the Christmas story every year of my life. My parents took me to church. I mean, I told you this before. We went to church. If you weren't dead or in the hospital, you were in church. I don't ever remember a time when I didn't know the Christmas story. I've known it all my life. I've heard it read every year. I've heard the Christmas songs every year. I read it to my kids every year. And if I'm not careful, the Christmas story becomes a functional memory that has very little emotional element to it. It's just there. I just know it. But it loses its marvel if I'm not careful. Right? I have a functional memory. We don't get real trees anymore because our kids are all grown up, and I have a functional memory. I can go in the basement. I can get our Christmas tree, haul it up in the box. I don't have to look at the instructions anymore. I just, somehow or another, it all just gets fit together. Doesn't take a great deal of concentration. And then it's there. It stands there till Sharon says, if you don't take that Christmas tree down. So I get the box. I unthinkingly take the thing down, cram it in the box, and put it in its place in the basement. I never want the Christmas story, I never want Christmas to simply be a functional memory. I just somehow or another do it all unconscious. Do you see that's a danger? Do you see that something empty happens when Christmas is just a function for me, and somehow or another my heart isn't stirred by it anymore? I want to tell you the Christmas story from Mary's memory. But if you'll let me, I'd like to invite you to try to feel what the people felt on that first Christmas. because the first Christmas didn't feel like a Macy's Day Christmas parade. It starts out that there were some shepherds who had acclimated their lifestyle to living out in the open because the sheep had to be watched. I don't know. The only thing I know about shepherds is what I read in the Bible. I know almost nothing about shepherding. I do know I've seen sheep, and they aren't white and woolly. They're filthy and they stink. I know that for a fact. And these shepherds had the sheep all calmed down for the night, and they were simply sitting there making sure that no ravenous animals robbed the herd, the flock. It was a boring night for the shepherds, like so many others had been. Until suddenly it wasn't. And it wasn't night at all. And their boredom became shock when the angel of the Lord appeared and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And their immediate response wasn't holy awe, it was terror. The shepherd's immediate response was not, isn't this awesome? Their immediate response was, isn't this terrible? Something terrible is happening. And so the angel of the Lord said to them, do not be afraid. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm here to tell you good news that will create joy for all people. If your Christmas time was touched by fear, if your Christmas time was touched by fear, something in your family made you afraid, something in your life experience made you afraid, some doubt made you confused, something didn't turn out the way you had hoped, here's a Christmas message for you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. If you'll open your heart, God has a message for you, and it's good news. And it's good news that's intended to raise your sense of well-being. See, if I do Christmas right, I hear the Christmas story as good news, and my well-being goes up. If I do the Christmas season wrong, I don't hear the Christmas story as good news, and in fact, my well-being can go down. Church, and then the angel said, I have an important message for you. Today, in the city of David, the Savior has been born. Today, the long-expected Messiah from the Old Testament, that baby has been born in Bethlehem, that is very close to where you're watching your sheep. And if you want to verify that what I'm telling you is true, you go to Bethlehem and you'll find that baby, the Savior, wrapped up tightly in blankets and laying in a manger. I have received many wonderful gifts in my lifetime. Wonderful gifts, gifts much better than what I deserve. But can I tell you, the very best gift I ever got, I received because of Christmas. Jesus Christ saved me from my stupid, wicked self. The very best gift I will ever get is Christ standing up on the great day when my soul is to be judged and Christ saying, he's one of mine. I saved him. I forgave him. We are at peace with this soul. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Church, you will never get a better gift than that. It is a gift that doesn't grow old. It's a gift you don't put in the closet and forget about. It's a gift that doesn't go on a shelf and draw dust. It's a gift that doesn't get deposited on the tree lawn several years from now. It is a gift of eternal change in your soul. And I can't ever let my salvation become a functional memory and I just lose my sense of the majesty and the wonder of it all. Salvation is an awesome thing, and it only happened because Christ was born in Bethlehem and became one of us so that he could represent us to the Father. And then suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly soldiers. Host is the way the King James translates the word, but it should be heavenly soldiers. I like the idea. I just can't get into a bunch of white-robed angels singing songs. But the idea of the angel of the Lord leading an army of angels who are chanting out in rigorous voice, praise to God, that I can relate to. Anyone? And they said, glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. I like the King James Version better. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Anyone? Listen at the message of the angelic army. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Do you want to know the emotional memory of Christmas? It should be that it is a time every year where we recalibrate our hearts and we say, peace on earth, goodwill to men. It should be a time of forgiveness. It should be a time of letting go. It should be a time where we seek peace and pursue it. Church, let it go. How many more Christmases can you be angry? How many more Christmases can you be resentful? At what point are you willing to simply say, peace on earth, goodwill toward man? Church. I value peace. Internal peace, family peace, church peace, political peace. It is a beautiful thing, and it's all wrapped up with Christmas. But it's not just peace, it's also goodwill toward man. Every Christmas ought to remind us that we're human and the people around us are human. And everything works better when we treat each other with humanity. Church. Hey, mom, they're just kids. Peace on earth, goodwill toward kids. Hey, dad, they're just teenagers. Peace on earth, goodwill toward teenagers. Hey, grandparents. They're just grandkids. The world has changed. My grandkids do not act the way I acted at my grandmother's house. And it's probably not all bad. Church, can you hear this? Peace on earth, goodwill toward the people around you who have changed because the world changed. And we're never going back to the 50s, 60s, 70s or 80s. And then they were gone. That quickly, the light of the God of heaven shone around them. The angel of the Lord spoke, the angelic army spoke, and suddenly they were gone, and it was just night again. And the shepherds are looking at each other like, and then the smart one in the group said, maybe we should go to Bethlehem and check this out. Thank you, Captain Obvious. Who's going to watch the sheep? I don't know. Let's make Benjamin do it. They left the sheep with one shepherd, and the rest of them made their way through the night to Bethlehem. Now, you remember Bethlehem is already overcrowded. It's so crowded, Mary and Joseph couldn't find a place, and somebody said, you can stay in my barn. And Mary and Joseph made themselves a little place, and Jesus was born there. And they finally got the baby to sleep, and poor Mary is worn out. And now some shepherd is yelling, hey, hey, we want to talk to you. I see these beautiful Christmas cards of the shepherds and Mary and Joseph. It wasn't that way at all. You who have had children, do you want people you don't know barging into your house late at night to manhandle your newborn baby? Moms, does that sound fun to you? Does that sound like a beautiful Christmas card to you? Mary's tired. She gave birth to a baby. She finally got him to sleep. She was playing, oh, please, God, don't let him wake up for another 2 hours. And shepherds are yelling, hey, we want to come in there. Brothers, if I was Joseph, there would have been ugly words exchanged. I don't know you. Leave us alone. My wife just had a baby. Come back in 3 days. It was uncomfortable. Can you believe that? Can you believe that it wasn't some idyllic moment? It was a pure human moment where shepherds, overwhelmed by the curiosity created by the angels, were willing to intrude in Joseph and Mary's little evening. Sometimes Christmas isn't comfortable. There are intrusions, right? But if Mary and Joseph could work it out, you can work it out. And they came in, and I'm sure the smart shepherd said, we're real sorry for bothering you tonight. Could we please explain to you why we're here? We were out watching our sheep, minding our own business, and suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared. We were terrified. But the angel said, don't be afraid. I have good news. It will create joy for many people. Unto you a Savior was born today in the city of David. It was a affirmation of the very message Mary heard when the angel told her she was going to have a baby. Do you remember? You shall call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. The shepherds affirmed what the angel had said to Mary. Do you know what I believe? I believe God is looking to affirm his good call on your life all the time. But it just doesn't always come in a convenient package. Are you open to God affirming himself to you? Are you open to him meeting in you in unusual ways and affirming his love for you, affirming his commitment to you, affirming his call upon your life? Luke 2:18, and all who heard it, that is, all who heard what the shepherd said, wondered. They were filled with wonder. Church, I never want to lose the wonder of what God did on that first Christmas day. He left the majesty of his own home, and he came and lived a difficult life among us. It is a majestic and wonderful thing. Church, if you have suffered this year because of others, then you can enter into Christmas in a way that others can't. All the difficulties of Christmas were only necessary because Christ chose to live among us. Church, he picked it. He wanted to. And then I built this whole sermon on this verse. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Luke wrote that probably 60 to 65 years after it happened. Luke wrote this gospel 60 to 65 years after the shepherds intruded on Mary and Joseph that night. And he got the information because Mary remembered it and told it to him. These verses, they're Mary's Christmas memory. Now listen to me. She could have remembered this all very, very differently. This story could sound very different. Those rotten Romans, they made us leave our home in Nazareth. And I went to Bethlehem, and wouldn't you know it, I had to give birth there. My mom wasn't there. My family wasn't there. We were shoved away in an animal stable. Her memories could have been very, very different than what Luke recorded. But Mary chose to ponder the good stuff and to share the good memories. Now I want you to open your heart to me. Mary is a model for us. We get to choose what memories we ponder and what memories we let go. You get this? We get to choose what memories we tell ourselves over and over and over again, whether they be good or whether they be bad. Some of you have Christmas memories you need to let go of. You need to stop pondering them in your heart. And you need to reconnect with better Christmas memories and ponder those in your heart. I'm going to tell you something I consciously do. When I have memories that I don't want to ponder, I consciously say, that's true, but it's not the whole truth. And then I tell myself a pleasant memory. Church, I choose to ponder the good memories. And I choose to release the unpleasant memories. You can have better Christmas memories if you'll ponder better Christmases. But as long as you ponder the bad Christmases, they're going to haunt you again and again and again. Church. I also want to say the Christmas memories you share, they're important. Mary shared this memory with us, and it has been part of the Christmas story ever since. Do you know Christmas stories that should be part of your family Christmas memory? But you're so focused on the bad, you haven't shared any of those good Christmas memories that might make all the difference in the world to your family. I want to ask you another question. Mary remembered Christmas, and she remembered that her son, even as a baby, was identified as the Savior. And 30 years after that Christmas morning, 33 years after that Christmas morning, he did his saving work. And Mary thought about it for another 30 years. Do you have memories of Christ? Do you have Christ memories? Let me ask you specifically. Do you have faith memories? Do you have any memories in your life? Do you have any memories in your heart where you say, I remember the moment, I remember the time of my life, I remember when I really came to faith in Christ. I remember when it made sense to me. I remembered when I wanted him in my life. I remember when I asked him to forgive me for being an idiot and please help me be a better person. Church, do you have faith memories? Do you have hope memories? There was a time in your life when your hope had been exhausted, but Christ graciously intervened in your life and gave you new hope. Do you have love memories where Christ loved you into being a better person? Do you have change memories? Christ went to work in your heart and he changed something that was not acceptable in you and made you a better person. Do you have memories of Christ? Do you have memories of Christ that makes him precious to you? Or do you simply have functional memories, memories that somehow or another you learned something about Jesus a long time ago and it just stuck in your head? But it doesn't really ignite any flame in your heart. Church, Christ came into the world to do something better than simply give you functional memories. He came into the world to ignite your heart with the true love for God and people. And so now Christmas 2019 is a memory. You're going to decide what kind of memory it is. But I hope you'll begin to attach the Christmas memory with memories of Christ. Who he is, what he's done for you, how much he cares for you, the promises he's made to you. and what he's willing to do to bring peace to your life and goodwill to you. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Mary's Christmas memory. Thank you for Luke recording it. And I pray that we would never lose the sense of wonder about it. And I pray that by the guidance of your Holy Spirit, we would be creating new memories with Christ day by day. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.